Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Panning the Stream. My name is Dan Reichert, and across the table from me, my wife Bianca Reichert. How are you doing?
They already know who we are. It's been 50 episodes.
That's true. It has been 50 episodes of Panning the Stream.
This is the 50th, so there's been true. 49. This is the 50th episode.
But we can't assume that everyone that is listening to this has heard 49 episodes plus bonuses up to this point.
Well, I mean, I would hope it's not someone's first episode. It'd be pretty ballsy to go in on the 50th one.
Sometimes you want to make sure something's going to stick around before you're going to go ahead and hit that subscribe button. You don't want to clog up your phone with something that might show up for, you know, 3 or 4 episodes, never to be seen again. But we every single Sunday, 8 o'clock a.m., we're here.
Yeah, recording live, broadcasting live all to you, unedited.
No. I edit every one of them, and then we put it up. This isn't going to go up till Sunday, so.
I feel like the ideal way to get into a podcast is to start from the first one, you know, be a little like, okay, do I like these people? Do I want to be on board? Feel them out as they're feeling the podcast out when they work out their kinks and nerves around episode 10 and kind of get into a flow, and, you know, the listener will sort of know them a little better. And I feel like the people that have been listening to Panning the Stream know me pretty well at this point. I mean, to an extent.
But the thing is, too, if you start at the beginning, they haven't quite always hit their stride as far as, like, production and stuff. Because remember, our early ones were very, you know, just sitting on the bed and we didn't have the setup that we have now. Right. I didn't quite know how to edit. And I'm still very novice at this stuff. But I feel like our quality, both in terms of the rapport and also in terms of the production, has only improved as time has gone on.
Indeed. I think going back and listening to the first one would make it all the more impressive.
Perhaps, yes. I think this will be some people's first episode because we are doing a highly requested show here for this week. In honor of the 50th episode, we are going to answer all those requests for My Hero Academia. Mm-hmm. Academia? We'll call it My Hero Academia. I don't know. It's been requested a lot because I think the people out there like anime. I have learned that over the last, year plus of watching anime in different forms. Mainly, you know, both of us have seen a lot of Dragon Ball Z.
That's right.
We have done Assassination Classroom on Panning the Stream. We have done Case Closed. And One Punch Man. Actually, our biggest episode ever was One Punch Man when we covered that, which we weren't super duper hot on One Punch Man. We did not feel the need to keep going on that one.
Right.
Unlike My Hero Academia, which you yourself, and you would admit this, when we were starting, you kind of, correct me if I'm wrong, were like, this looks a little bit lame.
You were super hesitant about the whole thing.
Yeah.
Because it's called My Hero Academia. After watching 7 episodes, I understand why. But before I knew anything about the show, it just seemed like, is this going to be like a silly anime high school drama where some young boy saves the world and has a giggly girlfriend?
Oh, so you thought it was going to be more just like this more grounded in reality thing?
Well, as much as they are. I mean, there's always one that like either can write the names of someone and then that person gets killed or has some like weird power where they're better than everyone and can conquer evil.
I think there's supposed to be animes where I think they call it slice of life, where it's like, I heard about the sleepaway camp, and there's some where it's just like, hey, we're just normal humans going to high school or going to camp or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I think there are some that are like grounded in some way. This one is not.
No.
So was it mainly the name that threw you off?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay. I mean, I was, you know, kind of just being rather closed-minded and silly about the whole thing.
And hey, it's a lesson for all of us. We open our mind, and then we went into this, and sure enough, we like this show a lot.
Yeah, but you know what's weird? If you just look at screenshots of this show like I did before we watched it, I kind of looked at it and I was like, this is going to be weird and childish, and I thought, you know, it looked like an animation style that I would enjoy. But I was totally wrong about that, too. If you just look at still images of it, it looks really lame, but in actuality, it's really diverse and cool and fun to watch. It reminds me kind of like those animes from the 90s that had like a kind of grainy quality to them for some reason.
Oh, yeah. I don't really know how to describe it. I'm sure there's a term for the style or something, but I know what you mean. I feel like Akira was kind of like that, and that might have been 80s, actually. Mm. I'm definitely a novice when it comes to anime, but yeah, you're right. Like, there is like a base level style for the animation in this, but it does, in almost every episode, some really stylish, weird cutaways, or just like for one quick little vignette, it's a completely different art style, or, you know, we're just going to use this one weird color scheme and put one word on the screen. I think it does really cool stuff with that. Mm-hmm. My favorite, we'll get to the All Might character very soon, but the one where it's just All Might vomiting blood and it says the word microwave and it's showing an egg in a microwave while he vomits blood. That really tickled me a lot.
Yeah, all the blood vomiting is oh I God. Always forget about it and yeah. then it happens and I'm like, oh yeah.
And it always happens so abruptly. We will talk about All Might a lot here. Let's, for anyone who didn't happen to watch this weird-ass anime before they listened to this episode, we'll kind of set the stage with what this world is. So it is Earth. They live in Japan. It is a different Earth where there are quirks. All of a sudden, there's like a baby that was born. What was the deal? It was like it irradiated light, and then all of a sudden, like 80% of the population all had quirks, which is just a way of saying superpowers. Mm-hmm. And there are so many that it becomes like a career, and these superheroes are getting paid. So it's almost just like a world of heroes, or, you know, all with their own different gimmicks.
Right. It's worth noting, though, that I wouldn't necessarily identify them all as like superhero powers, because some of them are pretty mundane and kind of pointless.
Yeah.
Like Deku's mother, Deku's the main character, his mom can only move small objects like slightly.
Yeah, like a pin, like a few feet or something. But
yeah.
The dad does breathe fire though, so he did have, but they said that was kind of a standard one.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's
maybe more helpful than, well, actually, out of those two, I don't have a lot of situations in my life where I would need to breathe fire.
It would be good to know that you have that capability. I feel like you'd be much more confident walking into sketchy situations.
Yeah.
But I guess if it is a common ability, then, you know, if you're going into an empty warehouse about to do some massive drug deal and you're an undercover agent, you probably wouldn't stand a chance against people who have like explodey hands or like weird, you know, what is that girl's tongue, Momo
oh
face.
Yeah, the weird like Momo challenge girl. Yeah, yeah. That looks exactly like her face, and she just has like this tongue hanging out of her mouth pretty mm-hmm. much all the time. Mm-hmm. I don't know what her actual power is.
Yeah, I'm really curious to learn.
Yes.
I think we're going to get to learn all the other students throughout the show.
Yes.
We'll get to that.
Well, because that is kind of overwhelming, because the opening, first of all, the opening of the show is amazing. The
oh
song
my gosh.
We've had in our head. So we watch a lot of shows mm-hmm. and a lot of episodes of these shows for Panning the Stream, but typically after like the first or second time, we hit the skip intro button
right.
on Netflix, or we just fast forward on Hulu or whatever. This one, we decided like three episodes in, like, hey, are we both cool with just watching this entire song every time?
Well,
like,
yeah,
yes.
I think you went to skip ahead, and then I looked at you, and I was like, what are you doing?
Yeah, what the fuck is wrong with you?
The song is awesome.
Well, not just the song, so it's almost intimidating, because you learn, we watched seven episodes here, mm-hmm. and by the seventh episode, I started knowing who some of these characters were at least, but for the first, like, at least six episodes, it's like all these characters in rapid fire that we have not met yet,
yeah.
or we've not seen them in their superhero attire, and so it's like, okay, here's robots, and a hawk, and just two disembodied hands.
A giant baby.
Yeah, like a baby with, like, a grapes on its head or something. Here's, like, a spirit bartender, a guy that looks like chewed up gum with eyeballs on it. There's all sorts of just weird stuff, and it's like, okay, I don't know when we're gonna meet these people.
Yeah, that opening's awesome. It's the song is by a band named Porno Graffiti, which I recognize as the name of an album, an extreme album. And if you don't like what I'm saying, you can get the funk out.
Whoa, they were the More Than Words folks, right?
Yes, they were. That's yeah. what they were most known for. But in actuality, they actually have some really good songs for like a hair metal era
really?
Band. Yeah.
Okay, some ballady stuff as well.
Well, they're
more
most
than
they're
words.
Most known for a ballad, right? But yeah, that opening is really cool. I want
yes.
to ask you something.
Yeah.
So we haven't really gotten to know many of the heroes that have this quality, but you know how like some heroes kind of look like anthropomorphized, you know, inanimate objects.
Yeah, like one guy just looks like he has like a crucifix sticking out of his face or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, and the, like that guy that would the hydrant guy.
Yes, so Backdraft.
What
yeah.
I'm wondering is, like, are these hydrants that were bestowed, that were given a power, or is it a human that somehow looks like a hydrant? Like,
I assume it's people that took on, because they are sentient.
Yeah.
And there are just people that, like, get non-organic things, like, oh, this guy has rocks for hair.
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering.
So
like, how does that happen?
I think a person just got, like, a fire hydrant for a face and hoses for arms. I think there's maybe a human brain underneath all that. Obviously, he's still a bipedal walking around thinking thing.
So you don't think that like the mom rubbed up against some fire hydrants a few times too many when he was in utero?
No.
Or like
well,
maybe like, you know, she was obsessed with them, or there's some motherly, maternal influence that went into it.
We haven't really got any background on that because, you know, so we've got Kachan, or Bakugo, who he's got, like, the grenade hand, explodey fire power, mm-hmm. and they never go into that backstory. We never really know much about All Might's thing other than, like, how it works, but we don't know how it happened, right. how they got it. That's never really explained. Everyone just kind of has one.
Yeah, I mean, I'm less confused about those kinds of powers that I feel like just come out of the body, but when it's people that look like fire hydrants.
Yeah, or it's a tree man or something.
Or it's a bird man, lion man. Like, yeah. What's the deal there?
Yeah, yeah. I wonder if we're going to find out because I think we're going to keep watching the show because the show is really good.
It's a good show.
Also, bear with me here. I have a theory that the show is kind of wrestling-like.
Oh, I immediately thought that the first episode.
Okay, it's not just me.
No.
Okay, everyone's got their signature moves, their gear, their catchphrase. Everyone's totally. Got a fucking gimmick.
Yeah.
Like, it's 100%, like, it's not just me seeing wrestling and everything, right?
Right.
This is actual.
No, totally. Like, Deku's, like, face Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, yeah, just underdog baby face. Yeah. Okay. It's not just. All right, thank you. So, yeah, Deku, who. I guess early on here we might refer to as Izuku because that is his, like, human name. That's his shoot name. But his working name is Deku, which
How do you say his regular name?
Izuku.
Izuku.
That's I don't know. That's how I'm reading it.
Okay. I mean, you're probably right, but I think of him as Deku.
Yeah.
So I hope this doesn't make some kind of.
Let's make it easy. We'll just refer to him as Deku all the time. Okay. But Izuku was kind of his human name, and Deku was something that. Okay, should we call Bakugo or Kachan? Let's lay this down early. Let's go.
I was just going to call him the explodey hands guy.
The asshole explodey hands guy. let's go with Bakugo, if we can remember that.
Bakugo.
So Bakugo and Deku went way back as kids, and he always used to make fun of Deku. And that's where the name came from. I forget how Deku. Associated with, like, the word associated with being weak or whatever, but that was a thing that he used to make fun of him and eventually becomes his superhero name.
Mm-hmm.
So we will just call Izuku Deku from here on. Right. And Bakugo is very much a, like, Vegeta type character where he just seems like constantly, like, just a total dick and everything, but it seems like there's a ton of insecurity.
Mm-hmm. But he's, like, actually legitimately powerful.
Yeah, super powerful and everything, and not, like, a full-on supervillain, at least not in these 7 episodes we've mm-hmm. seen, but, like, definitely kind of antagonist, but also has a history with the main guy and, you know, wouldn't surprise me if he came to someone's aid at some point or
yeah,
whatever.
I mean, I might identify him as a full-on villain. He was, especially in those first few episodes before Deku had his, like, quirk. Remember how he treated him when he thought he was a quirkless loser?
Oh, yeah. He was a total asshole. But
yeah,
it's like,
complete asshole.
I think. So far, the big bad guys have been, like, these, like, monsters, like these slime monsters or the giant shark with abs or whatever.
Hey, Dan.
Yeah.
Let's say you're a boy in school.
Yes,
who's
I've been
getting
there.
Bullied. You've been there.
I've certainly been there, yes.
And let's say this kid was bullying you in front of the mm-hmm. whole class. Would you be thinking about the toxic cloud of smoke with a face that's causing terror outside? Or would you be thinking about, like, oh God, this guy's bullying me in front of everyone. This really sucks. I'm really young and I have no concept of the life or death situation that's happening outside?
You know, Lenexa, Kansas didn't have too many smoke monsters or sharks with abs, but you're right. Like, I do think my main bully was maybe the scourge of my existence.
Yeah,
at the
so
time.
I think is, not Izuku. Bomby Hands guy was
yeah,
definitely the
Bakugo.
Villain of the first episode.
Yes, he's definitely the one with the most persistent mm-hmm. antagonist role in this first half or so of
yeah,
season 1.
Yeah, and they talk, or they suggest early on, they go more into it later, but this relationship that they had when they were kids, and I thought it meant, like, oh, maybe they were friends at one point, and then something happened that broke that friendship. But no, like, the more they go back in flashbacks, the more it's just like he's always been an asshole.
It seemed more like a bully and victim thing early on.
Mm-hmm.
And now it seems like it's kind of blooming into this rivalry now that they're both in the same school.
Yeah.
And, like, Bakugo is not cool with him getting into UA, which is like this superhero, like, not superhero, but it's basically superheroes, like, in training school.
That's
like
the really prestigious high school that everyone wants to go to if they want to be a legitimate hero.
Yeah, and to learn how to really utilize your quirks correctly and mm-hmm. stuff like that. I think it's really interesting, too, that they try to explain it, like, scientifically of, like, well, if you have 2 joints on your pinky toe, that means you're not going to have a quirk. And Deku learns early in life that he's like, oh, sorry. And the doctors are all saying, like, you're not going to have a quirk. You suck.
Yeah, that's got to suck, though.
Yeah,
can
there's
you imagine?
There's all those scenes of him with his eyes just, like, not even welled up, just, like, completely covered in, like, a sheen of tears. There's a lot of really funny things to that. Just seeing his eyes, like, kind of, like, shine when he sees his hero and stuff.
But you know what? I will say I'd rather have no quirk than, like, a really dumb quirk.
What's the dumbest one we've seen on this show?
I thought that lion guy was pretty dumb. There was
lion
the guy,
guy
that had the head that was like super long neck, I think.
Oh, right. There's one scene to crack me up. The teacher in the class says something in one of the first episodes, and all the kids start going nuts. And like one guy's head is way out, and one guy's just like they got like hammer hands or something. Just everyone looks completely insane. Like, this is a wacky, weird fucking show.
Yeah. Sure. I wonder, like, with quirks being as prevalent as they are, you'd think that every school would have an element of, like, we'll teach you how to control your quirk. Because that's a common thing that 80% of the population has to deal with, rather than it just being this UA place.
I feel like this is, like, the Harvard of, like, superhero quirk honing in. So in the first episode, we actually meet some, like, established heroes that aren't in class. Mm-hmm. And I like some of these, even though we barely see them.
Yeah.
We got Death Arms, the punching hero. We got the fire hydrant man named Backdraft. Mm-hmm. Kamui Woods, who is just a tree man. And also, this is a great name, Mount Lady.
Mount Lady, and she's just a woman that can become really big.
Yep, and her name is Mount Lady. I like that a lot. And we kind of see them in action because this slime monster thing shows up.
Oh, was it slime? For some reason, I was thinking it was like toxic. Oh, you're absolutely right, though.
It was like
slime.
A sludge, like a green sludge with eyes
gas,
and stuff.
I was thinking it was gas, but you're right, yeah.
Yeah, and so he like tries to take over Deku's body and like constricts around him like an anaconda for a bit. And that is when we first meet All Might, who... Boy, I've watched a lot of entertainment in my life, and I don't know if I've ever been so immediately sold on a character than All Might coming in, which, by the way, voice actor is Chris Sabat, who does Vegeta's voice, along with Piccolo and a million other
Dragon Ball
characters.
Perfect voice for this character.
It is the most bombastic. Like, this would have been Phil Hartman if it was made in 1995.
Totally.
It's like, oh, hello, yes, I'm, you know, it's like the guy from Ratchet & Clank, Captain Quark, and, you know, Blasto, like any number of characters that are like this. But he's the best version of that. I think I've seen.
Totally.
He fucking comes in while the slime monster's causing trouble and screams Texas Smash and just destroys the shit out of the slime monster and puts him in soda bottles. And this is the first episode. This is still the first episode. And I'm just like, well, this seems to be the best show I've ever seen.
I was immediately sold on this show. Yes. All Might is amazing.
Everything from the voices to the animation to the music to just the pacing. Like, this show just goes. Like, I've watched 160-something episodes of Dragon Ball Z now.
Yeah.
I love Dragon Ball Z. But there are episodes where it's like, all right, guys, let's get to the part where you actually do the fusion and quit teaching the dance and all
totally.
That stuff. This one, like, episodes will end. And these episodes are actually a little longer than Dragon Ball ones. And I'll be like, oh, shit, this one's over already?
Yeah, they really cut to the chase. I feel like if it were Dragon Ball, I mean, there would have been a whole episode devoted to the slime monsters, the stuff that he's up to.
Yeah,
know?
And it's 45 forms and everything.
Yeah. So, I'm right there with you. This show got me immediately.
Yeah. And so as All Might is flying away from his victory, Deku is holding on to his leg. There's a great shot of his eyes and his mouth. It's like the G-force test of just like everything getting blown back. And then All Might's just like, keep your eyes and mouth shut. He's just kind of completely open in the sky. But that's how that episode ends. And it does turn out that while this was going on, the soda bottles did fall because he, like, All Might expended some energy and had to drop the bottles. So the slime monster is still in play here. But we learn a bit about All Might here. They kind of, like, land on a roof, and Deku is – by the way, Deku worships All Might.
Right.
It's like his childhood hero, action figures, all this stuff. It's all he wants to be
the
in
reason
his life.
He wants to be a hero.
Totally, yeah. And so he's talking to All Might about how he doesn't have a quirk. And I don't know if we said it earlier, but like that's why he was bullied so much. He's one of the 20% without a quirk. And we see All Might like shrinks down and is like vomiting blood. And he looks fucking weird.
Yeah.
Like when he's big, All Might is this like crazy caricature of like a super jacked, like blonde, smiling.
Always smiling.
Yeah, just this giant, handsome, capable superhero.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's like the sinewy, like even his eyes,
super
they don't even
gaunt.
Have like white parts of his eyes or anything. Yeah, totally gaunt, prone to random vomiting of blood, which is great. He's still kind of got the, I think it's the same, I think it's still Chris Sabat, but he definitely plays it differently,
totally.
Which is cool. But it actually really adds this dimension to the character that, like, I'll be honest, if All Might was just crazy All Might hero all the time, I would still fucking love him. But this extra dimension to the character is like, oh, wow, there's actually way more going on here, and I like it a lot.
Totally. And when he is in that form, I feel like that's when we see him be more conversational and honest, whereas when he's in his superpower form, he kind of just speaks in sound bites a little bit.
He doesn't break kayfabe at all when he's all big. But
totally.
Like when he's small, he even says like, hey, you know those guys at the pool that are always going around like flexing, trying to look jacked and everything? Like that's basically me when I'm All Might. Like I'm just, it's for show.
Right.
And he tells Deku that like, oh, if you don't have a quirk, you can't be a hero. And Deku's heartbroken. Like, man, I was really into all the wacky stuff in that first episode. And right off the bat with the second one, I was like, man, there's actually like some more depth to this and everything. I'm actually getting invested in these characters.
Completely.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Like, I went into this, like I said, assuming it would be kind of like meant for preteen to teenage, like high school drama. And it's just so smart on top of being like really funny. And the dialogue is really smart. Nothing is dumbed down for us. And, you know, there has to be an element of wit for it to be, like, funny. You know?
Yeah, the humor really lands for me. And, a lot of, like, Dragon Ball's humor really landed for me. But some of Dragon Ball's humor I felt was a little unintentional, at least in Z. Where it's Goku, you idiot. Like, why would you do that, you dumbass?
Yeah, but also, I feel like the parts that made me laugh in Dragon Ball were usually just because, like, it wouldn't have been that funny by itself. But it's just, like, Dragon Ball... it's pretty barren as far as like interesting dialogue and, you know, moments where the characters aren't like screaming and gathering all the soul of the earth or the universe into a ball.
I will say, in Dragon Ball's defense, you kind of fell off a little after the Cell saga, which sounds like a lot of people did.
Yeah, I stopped watching when Boo started turning everyone to a cookie.
Right. Some of the most genuinely funny stuff in that show that I actually really liked a lot was, you met Mr. Satan, I believe.
Oh, but I know Mr. Satan well.
Yeah, you go back, yeah, great friends. But the stuff with Satan and Boo and the dog and like, there is just some weird fucking shit that happens in that last like 60 episodes of Dragon Ball Z Kai that I don't think you saw a lot of it, but it was like, I remember watching a lot and being like, I bet Bianca would appreciate this. Like, it does some pretty funny stuff.
I feel like the semblance of joy that you might have gotten out of those few episodes, you get it like times 10 in one episode of My Hero Academia.
You know, yeah, I think you're right. I think this is more dense. You know, it's way too early to say if I like this more than Dragon Ball Z, but I'll say it makes a much more immediate impression.
Yeah, I mean, sure. I was groaning through the first episode of Dragon Ball Z that we watched together. Do you remember?
Yeah, you eventually came around and then,
I eventually
and then you
came
dropped
around,
off.
But this I'm immediately enthusiastic about. Now I just hope that it maintains my interest.
So what people have told me is that the first season was described to me as great by several people, while I heard people say season two is like a masterpiece.
Awesome.
So I'm very excited about
that.
Yeah,
really cool.
So basically the slime monster comes back, like some kid kicks the bottle and it comes back and we see some more of those like superheroes trying to help. And it's kind of like Mountain Lady can't go down one way roads, so she can't help. Everything's on fire. So the wood guy is like, sorry, I'm of no help here. I'm a tree. And then of course, well, Fire Hydrant Man, he's working his ass off trying to put out these fires. Right. And that's all he can do. And then All Might can't power up. He's in his like weak mode or whatever. And I feel like All Might's power is a lot like going Super Saiyan in Dragon Ball.
Oh, sure,
there's a
yeah.
lot of talking about like, oh, I can't go into this mode because I've used up my energy, or I can only do this for so long before I have to drop out of
right.
it.
Well, in his case, he was injured. That's why he can do it like intermittently. And real quick, I think we forgot to mention that the big blob guy was like sort of sucking the life out of a grenade hands boy.
Right.
And it was like to the point where he was about to die. That's why everyone was freaking out.
That's right. So everyone's trying to save him while the city's like burning around him and everything. So at one point here, Deku just charges. And keep in mind, Deku does not have a quirk or anything. He's just a kid who is not confident at all. Mm-hmm. And he charges the slime monster without thinking about it. And eventually All Might like realize like this kid can't do anything. So he saves the day. He just like fucks up the guy with one punch, and he changes the weather with the punch, and all the rain like fixes the fire, and he kills the slime monster and everything. So he saves the day. But then he tells Deku that like, actually, I think you can be a hero because I saw this quality in you that you reacted without thinking, that you, without fear, you charged into a situation, which obviously means a ton to Deku.
Yeah. And he tells him that even you, young man.
Yeah.
Could be a hero.
Yeah.
I was like tearing up when you said that. I was really moved by it.
Man, this show is just a roller coaster. Like times where, yeah, I genuinely am just like, man, this is some really good character stuff. And then it'll just be like barfing blood and I'm laughing. So episode three is a lot of going back into what All Might's quirk is. Apparently All Might can pass it on. And it's called One for All. And this is the one I was referring to being kind of like a Super Saiyan thing, because it makes you super duper powerful. And I guess you can, level it up, pass it along. And so he wants to move it on to Deku. Mm-hmm. And so he's trying to teach him how this works. And he's like, well, you need to prepare your body, because if I give it to you now, I think this is when the egg in the microwave analogy is. Like, you just wouldn't be ready and it would just be too much and you would pop like an egg in the microwave.
No, I think that was because he used up all his power during the test. And he was trying to tell him that, like, this
that's
is how you control
right.
the power.
You got to bring it up to a certain level, but not go too far. Because, right. yeah, well, yeah, that's a great scene later on. So I think he's trying to prepare his body for the initial, like, granting of the power. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, all right, 10 months of training. We get, like, a Rocky montage of him, like, swimming and cleaning and lifting and puking and all this stuff. He has to, like, restore an entire coastline that's got trash all over it. So we got this big 10-month lead-up before the exam to get into UA. And so when he's finally ready before the exam, All Might bestows the quirk on him by giving him a single strand of his hair and telling him to eat it.
Yeah. Eating a hair would be difficult.
I think you... I wish there was a way you could ball it all up and just swallow it as a tiny little, like, speck.
Mm-hmm.
It's the fact that it's, like, especially if it was, like, a long hair.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, if you'd, like, swallow it, it would be, like a stringy asparagus thing that gets stuck in your throat.
Yeah, I feel like you would feel it in your throat, and then you would, like, pull it out a little while later. Like, what is this in my tooth? And then you would just feel it coming out of your throat.
You'd feel it, like, on your tongue, and you'd just be, like, sitting in a meeting or something, just like... Yeah. Like, moving your tongue around would be terrible.
And then people would be watching you pull this really long hair out of your mouth.
You're fired.
In the boardroom.
Yes, okay. Yes, I understand. I'll leave, boss.
And the only reason I say that is because I've actually swallowed hairs before. I mean, I'm a woman. I have very long hair.
It's true.
It's happened before. It's, you ever get that? Well, you probably wouldn't get this, but when you're in the shower and a piece of hair gets stuck in your butt.
Oh, yeah.
Like head hair, really long head hair.
I had long hair for a while.
So you know the feeling of it's like very.
It's a weird feeling.
It's like maybe satisifying is the right word.
It's like, I'm glad this is happening.
I'm glad
I've identified this and it's gone.
I feel unburdened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's an odd feeling.
Mm.
Yes.
Mm. Anyway.
So they get to the exam, they get to school, and we learn that it's going to be this very video gamey thing, which happens numerous times in the show when they're about to explain like a challenge. Sometimes it will cut to even like video game art and be like, okay, this is how this thing works. You get this many points for destroying this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the exam is basically, is we're going to put you in this battle dome and there's a bunch of, it looks like Into the Breach, like enemies and stuff.
Totally.
So this one's worth, you know, 3 points, 2 points.
Yeah,
and
it did look exactly like that.
Totally. Yeah, that's the first thing I thought of. And there are some that are like 0 points and they're just there to like block your way.
Well, there's just one big one.
Oh, that huge thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And they say it's best to move
just
around
this.
At some point here before the test, they just introduce Best Genist, which is a guy covered in denim with like a pants belt across his face.
Yeah.
He's just wearing jeans across his entire body.
Unclear what that ability is.
Yeah, don't know why they introduced him. He didn't do anything, but I appreciated it nonetheless.
Mm.
But yeah, this is the episode where they do the test. And right off the bat, there is a guy that shoots a laser out of his crotch and saves Deku from a robot. I like this guy. He's a very fancy lad. He reminds me of Raphael from Soul Calibur.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he's kind of like that if he could shoot lasers out of his dick.
Yeah. Well, I think it's his belly button.
Oh, okay. All right. So general...
Remember, because he says, like, oh, it's too hot on my tummy.
Oh, I wrote it down verbatim. It was, oh, God, I missed it. It's a later episode. Oh, yeah, he said, shooting my beautiful beam for more than a second hurts my tummy. That's great. Yeah. So
he's got a lot of sexual energy, this guy.
I feel like they're always doing, like, hearts and stuff around his head and stuff like that. Like, he's definitely, like... I don't know what that guy's deal is yet, but I'm interested to learn more.
I think he's supposed to be like a romantic French guy.
Yeah, I could totally see that with a laser dick.
Mm-hmm.
Or, I'm sorry, belly
Mabel.
Button. Yes. We meet a girl who can bring things back to life. And so she's like racking up points by bringing things back to life and then killing them. So we're seeing this like montage of like all these people getting tons of points while Deku is getting jack shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like he can't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
And then the big old zero pointer approaches Deku. And that's when we first see the one for all, which I love the animation style on this. So he goes up to give him a big punch and you see like the muscles and the veins glow
mm-hmm.
in this way, like charging up this huge thing. And a lot of this feels very video gamey.
Right.
It feels like he's got a full meter and he's going to just unleash it all on this thing.
Well, the reason he's attacking the big robot is because everyone else is running away from it because it's a zero pointer anyway, and it's
That's
huge.
Right.
But his friend, this girl, was like trapped right in front of him and couldn't get up, so she was about to get crushed. So he wanted to rescue her.
That's right. I wrote down her name. It is Ochako Yura. Ochako Yuraraka.
And Gravity Girl.
Gravity Girl. She can, like, float, but then she, like, pukes sparkles or something.
And she could make anything, like, else float, I think, too. She can make other things float.
Yeah, I think that's the case. And it seems like she's going to be a pretty big character here.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, he punches the zero pointer to save her, but then he realizes his limbs are all, like, broken. Or
right.
At least all of them, but, like, his left arm. And it's like they show the limbs being like dead and brown and just like flopping in the air because he had to jump like as high as a skyscraper to punch this thing.
Yeah.
And he's plummeting And he's like, oh, God, I can maybe try to, like, punch the ground to save myself. But the girl does kind of, like, slap him at the very end to save him. And then she just pukes immediately. It's a lot of sudden puking in the show.
A lot of puking.
Yep. But, yeah, it basically means 0 points for Deku, although he performed admirably, you know, saved his friend and everything. Oh, this is where we meet the old lady that distributes gummy bears and kisses people to heal them.
Mm-hmm.
I like this character.
Yeah, she's like an old granny that, like, I can only imagine her as a grandma. I can't imagine her as a young, you know, up-and-coming perk user.
Yeah, I saw her as, like, a school nurse or something. Just a really kindly one that, oh, yeah, a nurse, whatever, always had gummy bears, and, yeah, she's great. So the girl wants to give Deku some of her points, but it turns out he doesn't need them because he got rescue points for saving her. So he passes and gets into UA.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Then we get to the first day of class, which is we meet Shota Aizawa, the teacher, with I really liked his intro where he's just sleeping in like a yellow cocoon outside of class.
I'm really confused by this character. I want to learn more because at first I thought he was like a hobo kind of guy.
Yeah.
And then he seemed to be kind of this like mystical, you know, Neo kind of guy.
Yeah, he's got these, like, swirling scarves about him. And then I really liked... They called him Eraserhead because he can cancel people's powers, but it's only until he blinks.
Right.
So he can turn it on for a second, but then has to, like, he gets dry eye if
so
he doesn't...
consequently, his eyes are very red, and I thought initially that he was, like, a stoner type. It was supposed to be, like, one of those, like, oh, cool professor stoner guy.
Totally, yeah. And then, I started thinking he was, like, a vampire type at some point, but then I turned out he had the canceling power. Like, he's interesting, and I get the sense he's going to be around for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it seems like they're making him a big deal. But the quirk assessment test is the first big thing. It's like you never played much Burnout, did you?
No.
Burnout has a mode called Eliminator where there's like 8 cars and you do laps. And at the end of each lap, whoever's in last place blows up.
Ooh, I would be blown up early on.
That's basically what this test is. Mm-hmm. Is like, yeah, if you suck, you just blow up after the first round of things.
If you suck, you blow up. If only life were that simple.
Burnout is a beautiful video game. That's all you got to know. Don't suck and you won't blow up. I love Burnout. We also hear the teacher say, go beyond plus ultra style. Which I think plus ultra must be a thing because the fucking words show up like in the opening montage music thing.
Yeah.
So I don't know exactly what, I mean, you can make assumptions as to what plus ultra means.
It's I think it means ultra.
Yeah.
And like, then a little bit more than ultra.
Yeah. Yeah. Plus. Yeah. Plus, that makes sense.
A little bit more.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense.
I mean, I could be wrong.
You could be. We don't know yet. I'm sure we'll learn more about plus ultra. But we meet, we officially meet some of these characters we've seen kind of hanging out in the periphery for a while. There's this one, like, serious dude who's been around a lot, and we find out his name is Tenya Aida. Aida? I'm probably saying that wrong.
Aida?
Yeah, yeah.
Like Madonna?
Okay, Aida, yeah.
Is that his name?
Yeah, and then Yuga Aoyama is the belly button laser guy. Which I'm just going to call him the belly button laser guy. That seems way easier. And then Momo Challenge Girl. And then Deku sucks at all these tests.
He's bad.
He's absolutely terrible. And they get to like the ball. Like all the tests are like 50-yard dash, side-to-side things. You know,
yeah.
It's like tests of strength and agility and all
it,
that.
It seems like at least one time each person is able to excel at something using their quirk. But he's not because he doesn't really have a quirk.
Yeah. I like how the one character that looks like a baby with like a purple glove on his head. We don't know anything about this thing yet. I don't even know what it is. But there's like a side-to-side test. And this fucking baby or whatever is just like bouncing back and forth between these two like jelly balls or whatever. No idea what that's about. Don't know what his quirk is. Can't wait. He's in the opening, so I know we'll see more. But Deku thinks it's his last chance is the ball throw thing. He's like, well, okay, I've blown it on all the rest. I need to do it here or I'm going to blow up. And he tries to do an all for one throw, like give it all. And it goes 36 meters. So falls very flat, doesn't go far. Like I think Bakugo did one of those like giant like explodey things. Like mm-hmm. you're supposed to use your quirk to go as far as you can right. with this. And I forget why. Do you remember why the teacher cancels out Deku's thing? Because he tries it again.
Well, I think that he just thinks that there's absolutely no hope for him.
Yeah, or he's going to, like, I think maybe he saw him do all for one. He's like, man, you're going to destroy your body if you try this again.
I think that's what it was.
Yeah, because he went too hard, but then he tries another one, and he, like, super focuses the all for one just in his pinky, I think. And that way, just his pinky is hurt, and the rest of his body's fine, but even just that little bit was enough to just, like, launch the ball into the stratosphere.
Right.
So that's kind of a cool power, I think. That, like, you really have to teach yourself how to control it, and you can't just go 100% or, you know, 1,000% all the time. I think that's cool. I wonder how much that's going to play into the future or if his power evolves. Like, they talked about All for One leveling up.
Right.
So I don't know if it's, like, there's a skill tree.
Yeah, that's definitely another reason why I want to watch to see how he progresses with his power and, you know, taming it. And...
yeah. Like, in general, I want to watch more of this just to see where it goes because I know it's called My Hero Academia, which implies the school part of it. But I feel like I think they're in season three right now. I think they're deep into season three. I don't know anything, but I would assume they get out of school at some point and it's just him doing hero stuff, but right. I could be totally wrong.
Actually being a hero and, you know, solving villain issues.
Yeah, not just learning how to be a hero, basically. So
unless there's a hero college.
That is true. Oh, it's like, okay, so we'll follow the Save by the Bell method, and we'll do the college years, and we'll have a new class of My Hero Academia. Screech will be, well, okay, so the little baby will stay behind. Yeah, that makes sense. Belden comes forward. All right. Episode 6, we officially get the Deku name, because the girl that he likes says that, like, oh, that's a cool hero name. And he's instantly like, I'm Deku. That's my name, Deku.
Yeah, I think it's this episode where they get their outfits, right?
Yes, the gear all arrives right
yeah,
here.
Yeah, it's really odd because some of this gear is, like, just bonkers. Like, some of it is, like, the explodey hands guy has these two grenades on his hand and on his wrists. But then there's a girl that just has, like, a tie-dye bodysuit.
Right, yeah. So it's all over the map, really.
It's all over the map. And I guess they kind of suggest that the kids themselves designed it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we know for sure Deku does because he designed the weird, like, rabbit head thing.
And then his mom made it for him.
Right, the green, like, jumpsuit thing.
Right, yeah, and that's another thing. It's like, how much is the tuition for this school? Because they build the outfits to the kids' customization. They have, like, replica cities, like, four different replica cities.
Yeah.
You know, things are getting destroyed all the time.
It seems very elite.
It does seem elite.
Yes. One of the guys, I think it might be Tenya, I could be wrong. It just looks like his gear is, like, his calves had giant Legos built into them.
Oh, yeah, the really fast guy.
Yeah, with the, like, the six, like, things coming out the back. I have no idea what that's about.
Yeah, it looks really uncomfortable. Can you imagine how weird that would
feel? Oh, I would not like that at all.
It looks like they're implanted into his legs.
Yeah, I got tight calves there, and it's very uncomfortable and hurts all the time. Yeah, I don't want Legos in there.
And we learned that explodey hands guy, his grenade, like, bracelet stores all of his sweat, which is apparently what he ignites.
Yeah, he sweats nitroglycerin.
Yeah.
And so for his test that we're going to get to, he, for like 2 weeks, is just sweating into these grenade gauntlets.
Yeah.
It's like, have you ever seen Jackass Number 2?
I don't know if I saw
that. It's the one where Steve-O wears the sweatsuit and he has to get on the, it might not be Steve-O, but somebody, I think it's Steve-O, gets on a treadmill and is wearing like a giant clear paper bag, or not paper, plastic bag, and he's just sweating into it that's connected to a funnel going into a glass. And so after he runs and sweats a ton, he has to drink a full glass of his own sweat.
Does he actually sweat a full glass?
Yeah, it's disgusting.
Oh, wow. I didn't think people sweat that much.
I mean, they made him do it until it was like an uncomfortable amount of sweat to drink. It's one of the harder things to watch in that very hard to watch movie sometimes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, those guys. So they go into one of the drills here, which is a heroes versus villains thing, which is actually just two versus two Rainbow Six Siege, because it's the heroes have to, like, sneak into this building, and the villains have to, like, secure a bomb and, like, or protect a bomb inside. It's just 100% Rainbow
it
Six
totally
Siege.
Is. Yes. They all have their different skills.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, yeah. I thought that was really interesting. And so this episode is a lot of that, a lot of, like, sneaking around and trying to get in. So Tenya, the serious guy, his gear is, he's like this, like, all-white, like, shredder, transformer-looking thing.
He kind of looks like a Gundam. I've never seen that show, but I've seen what they look like.
And... yeah, but with like pipes that look like it's from a vehicle or something with a shredder face. Right. And also he's got like a cheese grater face.
It's weird. It doesn't seem to fit with his gear. Honestly, like if you had a special power, what kind of gear would you wear? Would you want to wear something really clunky and elaborate like that?
I think I would need to know what my power was because I would try to make it facilitate the power.
Yeah. I think like I would want, well, first of all, what kind of power would you want ideally?
Oh, Christ. I mean, the boring ones, you know, flying, invisibility,
well, flying won't really aid you much in, you know, heroic activities.
Not heroic, but I'd save a lot on flights.
Okay, if that's what you're after.
I'd get to work very quickly.
You would.
We could live out in the country and I would just fly like Gohan on his Nimbus.
Okay.
Going
so
to school.
What kind of outfit would you wear to facilitate your
flying?
If I
could fly?
Would you put, like, kind of, like, webbing on your arms, like that kind of thing?
So I wouldn't want to stand out. I would just want the, like, very functional utilitarian power.
Well, I guess if you're not going to be a hero, then it doesn't matter what you're wearing.
No, I'm just trying to get to work.
You wouldn't even go to My Hero or UA, so you wouldn't be getting a cool costume.
No, I don't need it.
In this completely hypothetical situation that we're discussing, you don't even aspire to be a hero.
I mean, if a situation came up, like there's a bank robbery and only a guy who could fly could get to the roof to stop the robbers, maybe I would like carry cops up there to do the work that I don't know how to do.
But then you would have to be able to lift a cop.
Oh, right. Yeah, flying doesn't necessarily mean that I would be strong.
That's what I'm saying.
Ah, gee.
Yeah.
Okay, I would fly to the police station and say, hey, they're robbing the bank.
Okay.
How about that?
Yeah, that sounds weird. That doesn't
what
sound
would
weird.
Yours be?
I would want to do like some kind of psychic stuff, like mind manipulation. But I think that's more of a villainous special power, but that's what I would want.
Depends on how you use it.
Well, I would try to use it for good. I would probably mainly use it for my own personal gain. But if I ever sought an opportunity to help another person, I would.
Okay.
And then my outfit would probably be kind of unassuming but really cool. Like, you ever see those women? They wear, like, tiny little capes. I would want to wear, like, something like a black shirt with one of those tiny little capes and, like, a leather skirt and, like, really cool shoes.
Do women wear tiny capes in public?
It's kind of like... more of like a sheath that goes over your arms. But if you were to look it up, you would have to like type in cape shirt. I've never worn one of them, but...
If we're ever like at the subway station or something and you see this, please point it out and be like, that's the cape I'm talking about.
Yeah, it's not like a full-blown cape, but it's like it's a little suggestion of maybe this person has something going on, something mysterious.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, point it out if you see it around here. The last episode we watched for this podcast is episode 7. And this one has a lot of flashbacks of Deku and Bakugo as kids. And it seems at this point like Bakugo is suspicious, thinking that like Deku has been holding back his power and potential. This is also a very Vegeta, Goku, like, oh, you've been holding back, like that type of thing. And so a lot of them, it's intercut with them hunting each other once they're in the training building. So in this training building, Bakugo is, like, super fucking up Deku, and he's got these, like, really cool, stylish attacks where he, like, kind of jumps over. It's like one of the, like, Batman Arkham things where you jump over the guy, but he'll, like, do, like, one of those bursts or something. Like, it all looks very cool. Like, the animation style's awesome.
He uses his power not only, like, offensively, but also to, like, propel him forward and stuff.
Yeah, and they, like... They animate it that way and then call attention to it. And it's like, oh, man, that's all really cool.
Yeah, it was cool.
And there's a lot of back and forth dialogue where Bakugo is like, oh, do you think you've been better than me this whole time? And Deku says, you've always been better than me. That's why I want to beat you. And again, this is all very Dragon Ball.
Totally.
Very Goku and Vegeta. And then there's this really cool part where it's super duper dramatic where they lunge at each other. And Bakugo is charging up like a fire punch. And we got like a one for all punch on the other side. And they like kind of clash in the middle in this huge vertical whatever burst through the building. And then the girl, Gravity Girl, jumps on the bomb, wins the game or whatever. And so they run out the clock and the hero team wins there.
Right.
And that's pretty much it for season one, episode 1-7.
Yeah.
And I think that was a nice place to stop. Mm-hmm. It seems like it was a true victory for Deku. And I'm sure that whatever tension between Deku and Bakugo and what's going on with Gravity Girl, like that's all going to play pretty heavily in this season, it seems like, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I look forward to meeting the other classmates.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I imagine they're all going to be a big part of the show, considering they're so prominently featured at the beginning.
Exactly. Like a, yeah, that's why I think that. Otherwise, I would think they're just, like, you know, superfluous, like, background characters.
But... yeah, like, we just drew some wacky characters mm-hmm. back here.
And that makes me even more interested to watch, because I really want to get to know them and get to know their quirks and stuff and yeah. their backstory and everything.
Yeah, like, I think a lot of times on Painting the Stream, and this is how we kind of saw this podcast from the beginning, is like, hey, we will start a show, we'll watch a handful of episodes, maybe 2 or 3 hours or an hour and a half, you know, mm-hmm. a certain amount to get a sampling of a show, but we'll always reserve the right to, like, if we're really liking something, we'll watch more of it.
It's and that's right, why, damn it.
It is our right. It's our podcast. We can do whatever we want.
Hell yeah.
That's why we watch so much Terrace House. And I, honestly, I cannot see us dropping this one no. right now. Or we'll see. No promises. But something like One Punch Man or Assassination Classroom, you know, I thought there were things I liked about both of those mm-hmm. to various degrees. And in Case Closed as well. I liked that quite a bit. But I didn't feel... not just anime, with most of the shows we've done on Painting the Stream, I haven't felt like, okay, we got to keep going.
Right.
But this one, I really want to keep going.
Yeah, I really like it. I think it appeals to, you know, both of what we like about, like, you know, you like your gimmicks and your wrestling-esque characters. And,
yeah.
You know, I like the really dramatic parts and the rivalries and stuff like that.
There's a real heart to it, though, too. It's not just all flash. Right. Like, I love the characters.
Yeah, the stuff with the mom was really sweet.
It really is. Like... every element of the show, like all the characters, the voice, the music, all that stuff, like it's just been fantastic. Mm-hmm. So, man, I'll be damned if this isn't the best first 7 episodes of any anime I've seen.
Right,
for sure.
It's awesome.
Yeah. So, you know, no promises on how many we'll do, but we can probably just say now that next week we'll watch the rest of season 1.
I think that's fair.
I think we're definitely going to watch the rest of season 1. So stay tuned next week. But thank you, everyone, for listening to us this time. Mm-hmm. And if you've listened to the previous 50 episodes or any amount of them, we thank you as well. And we kind of want to do something a little different this time. You know, we have a real modest following here on Painting the Stream, so it's not like we can always, you know, do a regular email section or a Q&A or anything like that. But at this point, you know, we got enough fans. You know, we've got some supporters. We got people that I always see on Twitter responding to what we're going to be doing. So I asked if anybody had any Q&A questions or email type stuff they wanted to do. And we got a few questions here. So,
yeah.
Bonk, you want to answer some emails here?
Sure.
All right. I will read the first one here. Hi, Team Pan. No need to answer this with any specifics, obviously, but Dan has always been pretty open, and this is something I've always wondered about a medium as open as podcasts. How aware of you are you of your popularity? Do you get metrics from all the biggest podcast apps or only a couple, etc.? What about RSS subscribers? As someone that subscribes and downloads podcasts with Pocket Cast for offline listening, I've always wondered if the creators of the podcasts I listen to have any idea I'm actually listening. Anyway, thanks for the weekly content and everything you do. It's great watching shows with you. That's Rick from Indiana. I guess this is one for me here. I tend to keep an eye on all the stats. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty obsessive about that stuff. I've got my documents and everything, tracking all my first week numbers for every episode.
Yeah,
so,
Dan gets a beep. He gets a page, actually, Rick, when he notices that you listened. It notifies him.
So. I do, yes. You specifically, yeah. Rick from Indiana. No, I track all this stuff pretty damn closely. So I made bar graphs and stuff in a document, so I know which ones had the best first weeks, the best overalls, all that stuff. And so I can tell you right now, the top episodes ever are all very recent ones, mm-hmm. which is good to me.
Yeah, that's well.
That means, you know, we have been steadily going up. So like One Punch Man, the Fire Festival one, the Mario Brothers Super Show, those are among our, like, you know, top 5 episodes. The Castlevania episodes did very well. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I do get to see all that stuff, and, you know, I get a pretty good sense of what episodes will do really well and which ones won't necessarily. It tends to be, it's not rocket science. If it's a show that a lot of people like and watch, like My Hero Academia, this one will probably do pretty well. If it's just some weird thing we want to check out, like Les Passion de Gavilanes mm-hmm. or Monsters or Beyond Belief, you know, we've done a few obscure ones, those don't do as well. That yeah. makes sense, but we do this because we like doing this. So
what you just described is actually rocket science.
It is, yes.
Yeah, that's what it is.
It is. So
people go to school for that.
I'm a genuine rocket scientist. And it also does break down by app. So I do get to see how many people listen on Alexa or Spotify or, oh God, I said the word. Is it going to, oh God. Okay, I don't think she heard. Okay, the biggest are iOS, Pocket Casts, and Overcast. Mm. And it seems like a decent amount also listen in their browsers on the Anchor app.
Okay, I would just say to Rick, I mean, enjoy the podcasts for what they're, you know, telling you, the content. Don't enjoy them just so, you know, people will know you're listening. Enjoy them for yourself, you know?
Oh, yeah. Watch the
shows. There's a lot out there.
Listen to us.
A lot to choose from. We're grateful that you chose us.
We really are. Being a smaller podcast, for sure, you know, my day job involves me being on some very established podcasts with a lot. And I'm very thankful for all those supporters as well. But this is like this little mom and pop thing. And we got this little family that, you know, we're starting to see the regulars that always, you know, listen, comment. And it means a lot. It's really, really cool. So thank you all.
It is cool. Do you want me to take the next question?
Sure. Why don't you take number two?
Okay. What's up, guys? Congrats on making it to 50 episodes. Well, thank you. That's very kind of you. Thank you for writing in. If you could have one wrestler get the same movie treatment as Paige recently had, what wrestler would you choose and why? P.S. Dan, I doubt you remember this, but my girlfriend and I met you at E3 last year. We did the classic Finn Balor pose for a picture, and I just wanted to say thanks again for that because it was the coolest shit ever. Thanks, JB from Charleston, South Carolina.
I absolutely remember that. I remember we were standing over by the edge of one of the main halls of E3, and I remember because no one had ever asked me to do the Finn freeze before.
Is that like when you put your arms real straight?
Totally. That's how Finn always does his tweets and Instagram stuff. They were very, very nice. So, JB, you and your girlfriend, it was very, very nice to meet you.
That's awesome.
Yeah, Bonk, do you have anyone in mind for the movie treatment?
Yeah, I would say, you know, I feel like it'd be really cool to get a biopic on, like, Steve Austin, who, like, you know, I would be surprised if this didn't happen because he's so popular and that would, like, automatically have an audience. But to see his rise to be, like, the most popular wrestler of all time, I mean, somewhat contemporary now.
I would say he's the most popular of all time.
Okay, I didn't know if Ric Flair
was... He sold
more
than Hogan. No, like, Hogan and Austin were both more, like, mainstream popular than Flair in his prime, yeah.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, I'd be really interested to see that, you know, his injury that, like, there's so many touchstones in his career. The Bret Hart match.
Oh, yeah.
Neck breaking.
I showed you the neck breaking, the SummerSlam 97 thing. That is one of the all-time tough-to-watch injuries in wrestling, for sure.
Yeah, and I think much like the Paige documentary, I'm sure there's an awesome moment that it could culminate in. What do you think that would be in his case?
Oh, you'd have to keep going past the Austin 316 promo at King of the Ring. I guess the natural ending point would be, if you end with WrestleMania 14 and him winning the title for the first time, you miss the whole Austin McMahon, the beer truck, the cement, the Zamboni. Maybe you end it at...
But we're just taking a slice of it, like how they did with Paige, right?
Oh, yeah, Paige did end with, like, she got there.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Okay, I'll say Austin beating... No. Austin having his final match with Rock at WrestleMania 19.
Okay.
I think there's just too many stories to tell leading up to that.
What about you, Dan?
Not a traditional wrestler, but Vince McMahon is a human being I've always been fascinated by. Mm-hmm. And he is a one-of-a-kind human. You know, all the stories you hear about him, about his life, about what he did after he took over for his father, how he just built this insane multi-billion-dollar company in ways... Just change what wrestling was. Like, wrestling existed for decades before him, but the way he approached it was just so bombastic and ambitious and, you know, just betting the farm on WrestleMania and then changing over time. Like, just everything from the screw job to the changing to the Attitude Era, to, like, the steroid trial. Like, there are just so many moments in Vince's life that in a movie, you would only be able to touch on so many of these because it's been decades and decades of just an incredible life. And
I think it would lend itself better to like a miniseries on HBO or something.
Totally. There were rumors that they were making a movie for a while, and Bradley Cooper was set to play Vince McMahon. That was the rumors.
Like a younger Vince McMahon.
Maybe, yeah.
But do you think, like, ideally, if this movie existed, it would have any of him, like, as a character on screen, like his on-screen
roster? Oh, I think you'd have to. I think the early days of him, like, being an announcer when his dad was still running it, and, like, when Raw started and he was an announcer, I think you would have to do that. And then him screwing Brett and, you know, the Austin McMahon stuff, I think you'd have to do some of that.
That sounds like an amazing movie.
Yeah, yeah.
It sounds really cool.
It's still, I'm not going to go on a long aside here, but it was still one of the all-time weirdest moments in my wrestling fandom when there was a little break between, like, 96 and 98 when I didn't really watch a lot. And I only knew Vince McMahon as the announcer. Mm-hmm. And he always wore this big suit and everything. So you just saw his head sticking out of a suit. And I didn't know he was the owner of the company at all. And then the Attitude Era got super hot, Austin and everything. And I tuned in and there was this episode where he came out to like fight Austin. And like they announced it as like the main event. And I was like, wait, the announcer is going to fight the Steve Austin guy?
Oh, that must have been so confusing.
But then he came out. It was confusing to start, but then he comes out and he's ridiculously jacked. And I was like, what happened to the announcer? what has happened? Why is he wrestling? Why is he that big? Who is this man?
Oh, man. And you can't just, like, Google that.
No. Back then, just...
you couldn't, yeah.
Yeah, I learned a lot real quick about Vince McMahon. So I'll take question number three here. Thank you, okay. By the way, to JB.
Yeah, thanks, JB.
Yes. Question three, do you take notes independently, or do you have shared notes when preparing for the podcast? Congrats on episode 50. That is Darcy on Twitter. Mm-hmm. I think I go harder on notes than you do.
Yeah, for sure. Because you're usually the one that'll do like the beat-by-beat rundown.
Yeah. I try not to do too much of that because I don't want it to just be a recap podcast, but mm-hmm. I don't trust my own memory. You know, I feel like it'll jog my memory if I see things here. But that's one of the things I keep kind of playing with the podcast is I would like it to be less note heavy, but right. just enough that I need. Mm-hmm. How about you? What's your approach to notes?
Honestly, I make a note of the banku that I do.
Oh, yes, of course.
I make a note of if there are any interesting facts about the show or movie we watched. And then if there's like anything I specifically want to remember to mention about what happened in the show. Otherwise, I just kind of, you know, go back and forth with you.
Yeah.
You definitely do the heavy lifting with the notes.
Well, I've always been that way ever since I started reviewing games in like 2005. Is like as I'm playing a game back then, I would just have a notepad next to me and then evolved to a laptop or a phone just to take notes constantly on like, uh-huh. oh, this thing didn't work or I encountered this glitch or this boss fight was great just because I know at some point I'm going to have to come back and remember all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So I have just taken tons and tons of notebooks and notebooks and docs of notes over a long time. So that just extends to this podcast as well.
Yeah, you're like that. You're very, you always keep track of, you know, whether it's data or, you know, certain like to-do lists or whatever. Mm-hmm. You like to write things down.
I document things. Mm-hmm. I like it.
Yeah, you leave a record behind. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't be able to get away with a murder because there'd be a clear record of what you did and where you were on a specific day?
Oh, for a variety of reasons. I would not be able to pull off the murder, and then if I was, I would just immediately surrender to the cops because I would feel guilty, and mm-hmm. I would not be good at hiding that.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
So I'm not going to ever murder anyone.
Wouldn't be good at hiding a murder now, and I don't think you would be.
Mm-mm. Why don't you take number four here?
Okay, you know what? I think our numbers got a little screwed up.
Oh, yes, sorry. Sorry, do the one that have you all.
Okay. Have you all ever looked at a villain on a show and just say to yourselves, I would like to just hang out with them? Not go on any illegal capers or anything, but just like, hey, let's get some tacos later. Congratulations on 50 episodes. Thanks, Chris M. Thanks for writing in, bud.
Thanks, Chris. What do you think, Bob?
I think Hans Gruber. No, I think
I feel like Hans Gruber.
Maybe like it'd be cool to hang out with the Terminator if I was assured that I wouldn't be killed.
Well, the Terminator turned babyface in the second one.
Well, okay. Well, I'm talking about, you know, first movie.
Terminator. Terrifying Terminator. Yeah.
But honestly, that's just like the first villain I could think of off the top of my head.
Oh, yeah. He loves tacos. It just breaks all of his gears. I think I would like to do a bar night followed by a late night taco run, Taco Bell run with, let's go with Al Swearengen from Deadwood.
Ooh.
Yeah, and he'd be a good drinking partner. Actually, he'd probably drink me out of the table.
The thing that's good about him is that he's obviously very villainous at some points, but
yes.
He clearly has some kind of like code.
Yeah.
He has a little bit of honor.
He's an absolute nightmare human.
But he's not as bad as Sal.
Cy Tolliver.
Yes.
Cy Tolliver is a sociopath.
Terrifying.
Yeah, he's... that part with Kristen Bell.
I remember... Did I go back and watch that scene with you again? Because I know I watched it twice.
I think we just saw it the one time.
Okay, yeah. Then I watched it independently just to watch it again. And it's like bonkers. He's clearly enjoying hurting them and just like getting a thrill from the torture and everything.
It is one of the coldest, most psychopathic. Like when he's like hitting her in the head with a gun. I'm like, what do you think of that? What do you think of that? Like everyone around
terrifying.
Is like, oh, come on, Cy, stop. And doesn't he... Well, I don't want to give Deadwood spoilers or anything, but what it is with
it's
Joni
brutal.
And... Yeah, that show. So anyway, he'd be great to drink with. Oh, wait, no. I was talking about Al. Yeah, Al is a good guy compared to Cy Tolliver. So Al Swearengen, Vegeta, and Stringer Bell from The Wire.
Oh, and I guess Dutch from Red Dead Redemption 2.
Yeah, he'd be charismatic at least.
I feel like he'd have some good stories.
He'd buy a round of shots for the whole bar, and everybody would love him by the end, mm-hmm. and then he would wind up talking into some swindle or something or some bank robbery.
I'd end up dead, but... Yeah.
For all my misgivings about Red Dead Redemption 2, Dutch was a fantastic character.
Well, all the characters were
actually yeah
fantastic.
Yeah, I can find no fault in that story or characters, especially Dutch I found captivating. All right, so I got another question here. Dear Dan and Bianca, congratulations on releasing 50 remarkable episodes.
Holy cannoli.
And thank you for a year of always adding something new and entertaining to my typical Sunday listening.
Thank you. How sweet.
Of everything that you've watched, what one show or movie would each of you most want to see adapted into a video game? What would it be like, and what studio would you want to publish it? There's a bonus question here, which let's not forget. Bonus question for Bianca. What foods pair best and worst with nacho cheese? And then also, thanks again for sharing such a charming and likable podcast. The two of you may be the most happily married couple I, quote, know.
Oh,
best
wow.
wishes, Mitch from Burien, Washington. Thank you so much, Mitch.
Best item to go with nacho cheese is tortilla chips.
I guess that's, yeah.
That's
all right, if you want to be safe.
The worst is brownies. Yeah.
Considering how much the Oreo stuff is good.
Oreos are really good on their own. And nacho cheese, you really like it. So
have you not tried it?
And I'm never going to. I don't need to. I know what it tastes
so
like.
So many people have said it and so many people have
That's
tried
so
it
fucking
in front
gross,
of me. I've
man.
Watched with my eyes. I've watched. As Brian Bohr, our former roommate. You can ask him. He saw the light. That's when I discovered it.
Honey,
it was at a party of his.
Hun, I think it's one of those things where it's not as gross as I thought it would be. But it's not good.
Okay. I'm going to try it sometime.
No, I'm never going to try it.
We'll save it for like an anniversary.
What was the, you made the yellow Russians, right?
Oh, that was disgusting.
No, what was that again?
Yeah, it was the yellow Russian. It was nacho cheese and it was a white Russian
But
drink.
Instead of half and half.
So it's like vodka, Kahlua, and instead of half and half, I did nacho cheese.
Oh.
And it did not mix at all.
Of
it was just congealed
not.
Cheese in there.
It's not even like... Oh my God.
Yeah.
That's so gross.
Let's get to the less gross one here. So the one about what show or movie out of all of our 50 episodes?
Castlevania.
You know what? I always think the Mario Brothers Super Show would be pretty good. I think Sega should make it and it should be a real-time strategy game.
Mm.
But no, Castlevania, definitely excellent. I would say my serious answer would be The Night Comes for Us.
Ooh.
Yeah, and I think you could get... I think. Any number of like maybe like the Devil May Cry team or if
the Yakuza team.
I wouldn't. Yakuza is so much more hand to hand, and when I think, well, Night for Us had a lot of hand to hand, but also had a lot of gunplay.
Well, Yakuza has some gunplay, and you could grab shit in the environment, and
yeah, I just don't think of Yakuza as like a shooter type game. I could even see like maybe Rocksteady because like the hand to hand stuff of the Batman games, like a lot of the like you know turning arms around and stuff and flipping dudes could work. Or if the people who made John Woo's Stranglehold, if Midway was still around, they would be the team.
I think, I think My Hero Academia would lend itself well to like an RPG where you can choose what quirk you have in the beginning around and deal with other. I think it would be like a good game for Obsidian maybe to develop.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that would be. They've done great stuff with the licenses before with, you know, the South Park games are pretty well received and everything. Yeah, I could totally see that. All right. That is it for our first Q&A section. We may do more in the future at some point if we got some special episodes coming up.
Yeah, you know what? It doesn't have to be a special occasion if you have a question.
Yes.
You know, just send it in and we might wait till we have a few before we do another like dedicated section for it, right?
That's a great idea. Yeah, I could just keep a doc. And if people want to tweet us at PanTheStream or they can email us at PanningTheStream@gmail.com. Just let us know if you want your name to be read or actually just tell us if you don't want your first name in town to be read and we will not. But yeah, I could just keep a doc. And once we get, you know, five or six, we could answer them here. So that is how you can contact us, not just with questions.
That is how you do it.
That is how you do it. That's how you can ask us questions or just let us know what you think of the podcast. You can also do that on iTunes if you want to review us and give
Please.
Us the old five stars. And I know we say this every time, but we mean it every time. We do the listener support program. And we mentioned earlier how this is a small operation. We get a decent amount of listeners, but it is definitely very modest in relation to bigger podcasts,
right.
I might be on. So it is really cool to see all of you listen and participate in the listener support program.
Yeah, that's really fucking swell of you guys to do.
It really is. It means a ton. And if this is your first time listening, it is a thing that Anchor, we work with Anchor, who you may have seen in the news recently. They were just purchased by Spotify. And I was not paid to say this, but Anchor is a incredible way to make a podcast. I went from not knowing how to do this at all to doing 50 episodes
of
this.
They just streamline everything for you.
They make it great. They make, you know, the ad stuff really easy. It's just, I cannot say enough good things about Anchor. So thank you to Anchor. But they also do the listener support program. So that means if you go to our site at panningthestream.com, you can click support this podcast and you can do $1, $5, or $10 a month. And that goes to us. That keeps this podcast going and everything. It's something you can cancel right away. So if you decide you just want to like throw $5 and cancel, you can totally do that. And also, if you support us at PaintingTheStream.com, you will get a Bonku, which is my lovely wife, Bianca, here, affectionately known as Bonk by me and others, will write you a Bonku. And,
yes, you will be the recipient of your very own Bonku.
Yes, Bonk, do you
have... A Bonku for you.
Do you have a Bonku for someone?
I do, Dan.
Why don't we hear it?
This one is for our friend Deebs. Deebs was kind enough to support us with money. And in turn, I wrote him a Bonku.
Let's hear it.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Ask Deebs what it means to be overcome by joy, and he will show you.
That's very nice. Was Ask Deebs a play on Ask Jeeves? Because it kind of sounded like it.
Yes.
It said with confidence. And then one last thing before we go. We like to give suggestions out, and these are always things that maybe we're just enjoying, and it could be anything. It could be a game, could be a product, could be anything.
Could be a concept.
Yes. Although, never an ad. Suggestions are never ads.
Oh, no.
I think at this point, if you've heard an ad on Painting the Stream, it's super, super obvious when it's an ad. We will hear music and we will have very ad voices.
Right.
But my non-ad suggestion for this time would be a page-a-day calendar.
Oh, totally agree with that, Dan.
Yeah,
that's a great suggestion.
Yeah, I used to love, as a kid, I would always get the Far Side page-a-day calendars. And I got all sorts of different ones, trivia and mind teasers and all that stuff. Far Side was my main one. But we thought about it recently. I was like, man, we haven't had one of those in forever.
Right.
And so we got dual page-a-days. I got one, you got one. I got one, which is like fun facts, like an Uncle John's reader thing. Mm-hmm. And so every day I got a fun fact for you. And then you got a dog facts and dog trivia, just dog everything calendar. So every day we can wake up and we got some facts we can share with each other.
Yeah.
It's a very, very pleasant thing to start or end every day with.
And hopefully it will spur some interesting conversation. If nothing else, I hope that I'm able to remember the fact. For instance, Dan, did you know that the most popular name for a boy dog is Max and the most popular name for a girl dog is Bella?
I didn't know that yesterday, but I know it today thanks to a page-a-day calendar.
Mm.
It's very nice.
You haven't been sharing your facts with me, but we don't have to get to that right now.
You get up first. Okay. Anyway, do you have any suggestions?
Yeah, my recommendation is more of a general concept, and that is a good breakfast. You know, you hear a lot about people who say, I'm not a morning person. I don't like waking up early. I feel so groggy in the morning. I just keep pressing the snooze button. I can never get out of bed. Well, let me tell you, if you get in the habit of having an awesome breakfast, you will fly out of bed. You will glide into the bathroom to do your morning preparations. And then
wait, you're always super cranky in the mornings. What are you talking about?
But if it wasn't for the promise of breakfast, I wouldn't even be able to get out of bed, Dan.
Okay, you're pretty cranky in the mornings.
Well, that's just because I haven't eaten the breakfast yet.
Okay, all right, your logic does check out there. All right.
It's knowing that breakfast awaits is what gets me to the office at 8 in the morning. You know, it's what compels me to go to bed a little earlier than I would otherwise. And breakfast food, as I'm sure you all know, is the best genre of food. A Chick-fil-A breakfast only lasts till like 10:30, so it's the best genre of food.
Genre.
Based on that alone. I'm a red level member. I'm not trying to brag. I'm just letting the people know that I'm not kidding around about this breakfast stuff.
All right. And you're also on the AMC Stubbs A-list.
Well, that, I mean, come on. I don't want to rub it in the face of the proletariat here, Dan.
Well, let's do it.
You know, have a bagel. Have something calorically dense that will propel you for the rest of the day. And, you know, I think you'll be happy that you did.
I think you will be too. I know what you mean.
Nothing beats a good cup of coffee in the morning.
Coffee, I've come around on coffee.
Yeah,
I like it.
It's very
good stuff.
Nice in the morning.
I still get soda most days, but when I get coffee, it's like, I should do this more.
Mm.
That is going to be it for our 50th episode of Painting the Stream. It is. It was March of last year when we started. It is March as we record this, and we're going to keep going. We're going to keep going. You know, we see a few more people every week hop on board and support the podcast.
It'd be silly
to
stop at 50.
It would be silly, and we've not missed a single Sunday.
No.
Not one. So we're going to keep going. No intentions to stop. And we just keep wanting to discovering new shows. We want to cover stuff that you guys suggest. You know, I told you how to contact us earlier. If there's other stuff, that's how we learned about Terrace House. That's why we did My Hero Academia for this one. So there's plenty more stuff out there on the stream for us to pan.
Indeed.
On Netflix and Hulu, Amazon Prime, all over the place. Maybe we'll dip into some YouTube. There's the whole YouTube Originals thing. Which
have we done an HBO Go? We did True Detective.
We did do that. I think that
might
be
counts, right?
That's streaming.
That's a streaming service.
Yeah, I think anything that has like an app on Xbox One counts, basically, or LG TV. Yeah,
that's the criteria.
Yep, but basically, there's enough content out there for us to do this podcast for like 600 more years. So we will keep covering stuff for you as long as you keep listening. So thank you all for listening. Thank you to Tom Monda for the theme song.
That's my brother.
And Bonk, thank you more than anyone in the world for sitting here with me and watching these shows with me and having these conversations. It has been an absolute delight.
Well, gee whiz, do you want to eat this hair that I found?
Nope, don't want to do that, even if you gave me power. I love you, and thank you all for listening. We will be back for episode 51 with the second half of My Hero Academia Season 1.
Bye.
Thanks, everyone.